this time, Rob Utman, our missionary to South Korea. For how many years have we been supporting you now?
25 or 26 years, something like that.
All right. Please come share with us what's in your heart tonight.
All right, I think if they're ready back there, we've got a presentation that's about 6 minutes or so, and I think that might be good if we go ahead and begin with that. 6 minutes? That's not the right one. Okay. Whatever you can find, it'll be good. There's nothing on there that is... While he's working on that, let me just say for those who maybe don't know me so well, I was born in Zealand and raised up in Hamilton, just south of Holland. And when I was about 4 or 5 years old, our family attended Robinson Baptist Church in that building over there. So before this very nice auditorium was built. And I'm just curious, how many people are here who used to attend over there? Oh, wow. That's a lot more hands than I expected. So I don't know if, when we're staying with Brother Wiersman and his wife, and they had their grandson sitting by him today, and I was looking at those boys during the preaching, and I thought, that was me. That's exactly... what I was like when I was 5, 6 years old and, had the wiggle worms and the fidgety itchities and, that's probably what went on over there about 50 years ago. And I'm just thankful that God has given me the opportunity to represent Robinson Baptist Church on the mission field in a place like South Korea. And we're excited. God led us there. We arrived the 6th of January, 1999, and we spent our first 13 years in Korea helping to establish the Seoul First Baptist Church and Seoul Baptist Bible College and Seminary, and I'm still vice president of that, but then I was asked to take over the leadership of a church right in downtown Seoul that had been a ministry for U.S. military people, personnel. And the military was leaving Seoul. And so the church needed to transition because the military people weren't going to be there anymore. And God has really blessed that. And Yongsan Baptist Church now has about 50% of our membership is Korean people. And the other 50% is international people. And the Lord's blessed. In 9 years, I've baptized people from 16 different countries. And the last person I baptized was from the Philippines. He was a young man that was watching our services. He lives in a town called Iksan, 2.5 hours south of Seoul. And he was lonely, working as a foreign worker in Korea, and born and raised Catholic. But he found our church services online, and he began watching them, and he watched them for almost a year, and God saved him. And then one day after he knew that he had put his faith and trust in Christ, he took a train, came up to Seoul, and he came to me after the service and very timid and shy and said, "Hello, I'm Michael Okyo. I've been watching your services for a long time and God saved me. What is baptism?" And I've been baptized, but the Catholic priest did that when I was a baby, and do I need to do that again? And he didn't know about baptism, and so we got to explain it to him. And praise the Lord, he was baptized, added to the church. God is so good. And that he's not the only one that's been saved through watching our services online in Korea. There's been several that have gotten saved. I even led one to the Lord when I went back to Korea in 2020, in May 2020. I had to do that to 2 weeks of quarantine in a shipping container that somebody had made into one of these small houses, And somebody, my cell phone number is connected to the church, and a Korean fellow called and wanted information about the church, and I was bored, so I kept at it and talked to him for about an hour and a half and led him to the Lord. And when I got out of quarantine, I was able to baptize him. And God is good. You know, brother, I visited, one time I visited Port-au-Prince. In 1988, part of my training as a missionary was to go to Suriname, South America, and do an internship there in the jungles of Suriname. And our flight from Miami had a seven-hour layover in Port-au-Prince, and so the plane landed there, and the pilot made an announcement. He said, "Folks, unfortunately, there's a military coup going on right now, a mile and a half from the airport." And so because of that, they're not allowing us to get off the plane. And he said, "I'm also sorry to tell you that while the plane is refueling for the next 2 or 2.5 hours or so, we have to turn the plane off so there won't be any air conditioning." Now, this was June. And you know what it's like there in the middle of the day in Port-au-Prince, Haiti in June. It was like 2.5 hours in a sauna. And it was awful, and we would take turns sitting. They rolled up steps to the plane, and you couldn't get off the steps, but you could sit there and take turns getting breaths of fresh air, albeit in about 120 degrees or something. But listen, sure enough, you'd hear boom, you know, in the background, and that's my 7.5 hours. I thought I would get to go to the airport, you know, and walk around the splendid airport in Port-au-Prince and enjoy whatever local cuisine was for sale there, but instead I just sat on those steps and in that plane and listened to guns going off, and then went down to Suriname. And God is good. It was a good training for missions. Even that, it was a good training for missions. And so, what do you think, brother? Should we just give it up, or are you ready?
I can't find the video.
Okay, then let's just forget it, because it's not that great anyways. It only stars me. It only stars me. And one thing that I always like to point out and tell everyone on there is that all the music that you hear on there was done by people in our church. And that means a lot to me. We've got some very talented people that God has put in Yongsan Baptist Church, folks that have gotten saved and other folks that have grown in the Lord. And it's truly a blessing to pastor the people of Yongsan Baptist Church. We have people in our church from Peru. We have people from Brazil and Mexico and Congo and Kenya and Vietnam and Thailand and Pakistan and Philippines and North and South Korea, as well as the United States. And we've had people from many other countries besides that. One thing about our church is we do have the half of our church that's not Korean, they're a revolving door. And so they come in, and some of them are there as students, some of them are English teachers, some of them are business people, some of them are tourists. And so they only are there for a while, and then they move on. An example of that is not long after I became pastor, we gave gospel tract to a young couple from South Africa. And they looked a little bit discouraged. And that's exactly what they were. He was with the South African embassy. And his boss, he had been working at the embassy in London. And his boss told him, he said, "Brother Bulani, I've got a plum assignment for you. I'm going to send you to the South African consulate in Atlanta, Georgia." And he said, then he handed him a 3-page-long list of expensive liquor and booze. And he said, "But I'm going to need that before I process it." And he said, "Oh, well, I can't do that." And he said, "Well, now, if you don't do that, I'm going to send you the worst place I can find." And he sent him to Seoul, South Korea in December. And so they were very discouraged, and they didn't know anybody. And then somebody came up and handed them a gospel tract, and they came to church, and God changed their life. And 3 years later, when they left with many tears, wishing that they could stay. And but before he left, Brother Bulilani Mandela told me, he said, "Pastor Oopman, in our city, Pretoria, South Africa, 3.5 million people, there's not a Baptist church of any kind, not even a Southern Baptist church." And so when they got to Pretoria, they had to go all the way to Johannesburg to find a Baptist church that they could fellowship with and worship at. And so we prayed with them, and after about a year, God laid on the heart of an American missionary couple who was in Port Elizabeth on the coast to move to Pretoria, and they started the Independent Baptist Church. And just what a wonderful thing that was. My wife got to go there in 2018 and visit them just shortly after that church had been established. And so God is good. We didn't really have anything to do with establishing that church in Pretoria, South Africa. But you know, if Robinson Baptist Church hadn't helped send a missionary to Korea, and that missionary hadn't been able to reach that couple, they wouldn't have gone back to South Africa and helped start an Independent Baptist Church. And so that's how missions work. And oh, look at that. They're going to show that. All right, we'll watch it.
Welcome to Yongsan Baptist Church in Seoul, South Korea. Yongsan Baptist Church is an international congregation that began in 1988. Two U.S. Army officers started this church so that U.S. military personnel and their families could have a place to worship in English language. But since that time, Yongsan Army Garrison has drawn down and mostly closed, and now Yongsan Baptist Church is an international congregation with half of our membership as Korean people. The Oopman family came to Korea on January 6, 1999, and we served for 13 years at the Seoul First Baptist Church, and I've been pastor of Yongsan Baptist Church since March 2013. God has allowed this church to have a tremendous outreach in the city of Seoul. Seoul is a city of more than 15 million people in a metropolitan area of more than 22 million people. And Yongsan Baptist Church has been able to give the gospel all around the area of Seoul for many years. I'd like to introduce you to the men that serve here at Yongsan Baptist Church with me. Pastor Kim Young-un is from Seoul, South Korea, and he's been my friend for almost as long as I've been in Korea. Also, we have serving with us Pastor Daniel Elliott. Pastor Elliott is from Springfield, Missouri, and he served as a missionary in Pakistan and Mongolia, and now in Korea. Also, we have serving at Yongsan Baptist Church Pastor Ernie Imson. Pastor Ernie is from Mobile, Alabama, and I praise the Lord for a good group of men that God has called to serve alongside in this church, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve with them. We'd like to say hello to you in Korea. 안녕하십니까. Thank you.
Well, our church service is over for the day, and I want to say that I'm glad that you could come and join a service at Youngstown Baptist Church. And we're here on the roof of our church because it gives you a little picture of what the city of Seoul is like.
Well, there you go. Well, that is just a couple of years old, that presentation. Actually, Brother Elliot, who was in there, helped me make that. He's very talented with that technological things. I have no ability whatsoever. And he is no longer with us. The Lord led them to go to Canada. And he took over a church in Orangeville, Ontario, that had been without a pastor for 7.5 years. And then also Brother Imsen on the other side, he adopted, and it's quite a story, a North Korean baby girl. And it took more effort than you could ever imagine for them to be able to do that. And quite an amazing story. They should make a movie out of how they got her out of North Korea and China and Vietnam, because that's the way they had to go. And but she's now in the States and going through the process to become a naturalized U.S. citizen, and so they're not in Korea any longer either. I'd like to go ahead and ask you if you would take your Bibles. I'd like to speak to you tonight from one of the great missions passages in the Bible. One of the great missions passages in the Bible. So would you please turn with me to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Now, I know maybe some of you are thinking, Brother Ootman, that's about Samson. Were you dropped on your head there in that farm in Hamilton? Because this is not something that anyone ever told me was one of the great missions passages of the Bible. But listen, I was not dropped on my head. Now, Shannon, he roughed me up a few times on the wrestling mat. All of his brothers did. They were better than me. But never a head injury, okay? Never a head injury, but I can show you from Scripture why this is one of the great missions passages in the Bible. Keep your place there in Judges chapter 13, but I want to read a verse to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll read verse number 11. From my King James Bible here, it says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples." Now, there is a difference between an example and an ensample. An example is just a good representation, something that is similar enough to something that we can call it an example. But an ensample is a present and continuing example. And because this has been inscripturated, because what this is being written about has been inscripturated, we have it with us forever. Amen? Because God's word abides. And so it says, "Now all these things happen unto them," them being Israel, "for examples, and were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, I'm not sure what you believe, but I believe that these are the end of the end times. These are the last days of the last days. And the end times may come very well to us. In any case, this is certainly something that God's word says, that all that happened to Israel is something that was for our admonition. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking in 1 Timothy or through the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5, quoted Deuteronomy 5 about the ox that treadeth out the corn, that you're not supposed to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, because that's church truth. Well, I submit to you that because of 1 Corinthians 10:11, what we find here in Judges chapter 13 could very well be applied towards missions truth. Missions truth. Let's read the first five verses of this, and then we'll have a quick word of prayer. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now, there was a certain man of Zoar, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink nor any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from out of the hand of the Philistines. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our service this evening. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Every bit of your word is relevant and precious to us, Lord. I pray, God, that you might give us a good understanding of these things. But especially, Lord, we pray for your filling, for the power of the Holy Spirit to abide upon us, that we might go forth from this place and do the things that please you, do the things that will bring the lost into the kingdom of God, and do the things that will exalt the Savior whom we serve. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to go quickly here. There's only about 9 points in my message, and my knee hurts, so I will go quickly. The children of Israel did evil. Let me begin by saying that this passage or this portion of Scripture here in Judges, although it does not give an explicit what we might term Great Commission exhortation, it's there implicitly. Because even before God said, let there be light, God had a foundational plan for his creation. And God's plan has always been to redeem his fallen creation. So long before the day of Pentecost, Israel was also given a great commission. Let me read one of them. We can find it in Psalm 96. In Psalm 96, beginning at verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. So long before the day of Pentecost, Israel was given a great commission too. They were supposed to be a vehicle by which the world would see the glory of God. We know that there was a time when the Queen of Sheba came to behold the glory of Solomon's kingdom and to hear and see for herself the wonders that were Solomon. But did she ever see the wonders and glory of Solomon's God? Israel didn't always do a very good job in accomplishing God's foundational plan. But friends, we have an even greater emphasis than Israel had, because God has said to us, even as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And it's incumbent upon every one of us to reach both our Jerusalem and our Judea and our Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So there is this, first of all, a foundational plan. So we can turn to Judges chapter 5 and we can learn something about missions just from the foundational plan and purposes of God in dealing with Israel and making them his elect people. They weren't elect just so that they could look better than other nations. They weren't elect just so that they would be able to have the prime real estate in the world. They were elect for God's purposes and God's plans. And anybody who considers themselves to be elect today, it had better be because they intend to accomplish the will of God. But we read that Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. So there was a foundational plan, but we go right on and we see a failed people. A failed people. They did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And that's the story of the book of Judges. God gave them a miraculous deliverance from bondage in Egypt. He brought them through the midst of the Red Sea. He fed them with manna. He gave them water to drink from a rock. He gave them meat, quail, and they broke their covenant with him. He brought them into the land the same way he brought them out of Egypt. They crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. But they didn't drive out the Canaanite, and it wasn't long before they were behaving like the Canaanites. And God let foreign nations come and oppress them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't accomplish that foundational plan. Therefore, God let them suffer because of it. And you can read in the book of Judges how that for 20 years, Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, and Sisera, his captain, how they oppressed, mightily impressed the children of Israel until the people sighed in bondage and cried out to God. And God raised up Deborah and Barak and delivered them. But then they fell into sin again, and God delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. And then they sighed in their want and suffering from the Midianites' hordes coming and taking all of their food. And they prayed and they said, God, deliver us again. And God sent Gideon, and he delivered them. It's a little bit different, though, when we come to Samson. Samson's the judge that nobody wanted. He's the judge that nobody asked for. He's the judge that nobody prayed for. He's the judge that nobody helped and nobody stood with. But God, in his grace, gave Israel a man who would help to begin to deliver them. They were a failed people, but God loved them anyways. And boy, that encourages my heart because I haven't been everything that I should be. I try, but sometimes Rob Utman gets in the way of what God wants to do. I try, but sometimes I fail. And Israel failed. And they deserved God's judgment. But he gave them a deliverer. Now, Samson wasn't a perfect deliverer. But God chose him anyways. And that encourages me. Because there's better people that could probably accomplish a lot more in Korea than what Rob Utman has accomplished. But if God called them to go there, they haven't made it yet. There's probably people who have a lot more linguistic skills and could go over there and learn to speak the Korean language like my daughter instead of like me. But they haven't got there yet. And there's people maybe that could connect better technologically with the people of South Korea who are very technological. But instead, they got a simple farm boy from Hamilton. Samson wasn't Israel's best judge. Samson wasn't Israel's greatest leader. But God chose him anyways. And that just encourages my heart. Do you know what Samson's name means? It means sunlight. God wanted him to be a sunbeam. I just think that's something Samson, big strong Samson, and God gave him the name Sunbeam. It's a failed people, but you know what? God is gracious, and he gave them a deliverer anyways. We could go on, and we see more lessons that can help our understanding of missions and our accomplishment of it. Beside the failed people, there's the fierce Philistines. And this also teaches us something, because there's always, always going to be opposition. When you are serving God, when you determine to serve God and obey His word, there is always going to be opposition. Now, history tells us that the Philistines were the ones who figured out how to smelt iron ore, how to process iron ore and make it into steel. And so when all the rest of the people had brass swords and brass knives and brass spear tips, those Philistines had steel ones. And that made them an incredibly powerful people. They were adversaries that you could not take lightly, and they greatly oppressed the people of Israel. By the way, they oppressed the people of Israel 40 years. That's twice as long as any other period of oppression in the book of Judges. And yet, the people hadn't even gotten around to praying yet. After 20 years of Canaanite oppression, they were on their knees. After the Midianite hordes came in and took all their food, they were on their knees. But after 40 years of being under the heel of the Philistine lords, the children of Israel still hadn't gotten around to praying about it. They were powerful people. You know, we live only 30, 40 miles away from North Korea. And in North Korea, there's people in South Korea that fill up helium balloons. The South Korean government hates this, but they fill up helium balloons and they tie a gospel tract to them and they let them float over the DMZ into North Korea. And if you pick up one of those gospel tracts and one of the police or army sees you, you're executed on the spot. And I have seen video taken by people who had a cell phone, and they showed people executed for treason simply because they picked up a gospel tract off the ground. There's opposition. There's always going to be opposition. I'm sure there was opposition in Brazil when Gloria and Monty were there in the Roman Catholic Church. I had a Buddhist priest one time, and he shook his finger in my face, and he said, "Korea's a Buddhist country, and you Christians need to leave. You've got no place here." I said, "My, you speak English really well. Where'd you learn to speak English?" "Oh, I went to University of California, Berkeley." "Oh," I said, "when you were in the University of California, Berkeley," I said, did you go to a church or did you go to a Buddhist temple?" He said, "Well, I went to a Buddhist temple." "Oh, so it's all right for a Buddhist temple to be in California, but not for me to be in Korea?" After that, he wouldn't speak to me in English anymore. But you know, God is able. He made Samson. I don't think Samson was a big, strong guy looking. I think Samson was an average-looking guy because the power that he had didn't come from within himself. It was from God. And God gave him the power to be able to overcome those fierce people. And God can give us the power to overcome. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college and I was praying about going to Korea as a missionary, and I wrote a letter to a missionary in Korea, and I said, "Sir, I'm praying. I think the Lord's leading me." And he said, "You should just forget about it." He said, I lost my visa. I have to leave the country in a few months. You'll never get here." We got to Korea. We went there on a student visa. After less than a year, I decided to come back to the States and go to the Korean consulate in Chicago and apply for a missionary visa. Very, very hard to obtain at that time. And I went in and filled out the paperwork, and the lady looked at it and said, "Oh, okay, all right, you can come back tomorrow and pick up your passport." And I said, "That's it?" She said, "Yeah, that's all." And I'm like, Oh, that was pretty easy. I went back to Korea, and I called up a few people and wrote a prayer letter, said God gave us a visa, and praise the Lord. And other missionaries are calling me, how did you do that? What did you do? I said, I just asked for it, that's all. And that's impossible. You shouldn't have received that. Well, 1 year later, I had to extend that visa, and when I went in to extend it, the people at the immigration office, they said, how did you get this? And they began to investigate us, and they took our passports, and for 6 weeks, they investigated us. They came three times, and they heard me preach. At the end of it, they said, well, you know, clearly you're a legitimate missionary doing legitimate missionary work, but there was a mistake made in processing your visa. You shouldn't have been able to get that, but it's not our job to give the visas. That's what the consulate office in Chicago does, and they've told us to leave their business alone, and our job is only to decide that what you're doing is what your visa allows you to do, and you're a real missionary, so we're going to extend your visa for three more years, and we just got it. God is good. He's able to give us the power to overcome the opposition when we're doing what he's called us to do. And as long as Samson was doing what God called him to do, God gave him the power to win the battle. I see quickly another really wonderful thing about missions in the faithful parents too. The faithful parents. This was a time of general apostasy in the nation of Israel. People were worshiping gods, false gods, gods of their own creation, gods of their own vain imagination. People were secular. They weren't worshiping Jehovah God like they should have been. They had forgotten God's word. But there was a couple from the family of the Danites, and of all the tribes in Israel, there's probably not another tribe that more suffered from idolatry and apostasy than the Danites. And yet, this man, Manoah, and his wife were without a child, and I have no doubt that they spent many hours on their knees praying and asking God to give them a child. And friends, God visited them. Can you imagine? God visited them. Do you know that Moses, when Moses wanted to meet with God and see God, God put his hand over Noah's eyes, and he didn't remove his hand until he had gone past, so Moses could only see the hinder part of God. But Manoah and his wife sat down face to face with a theophany with God, the angel of the Lord. I hear people criticize Manoah's parents, but I don't find any criticisms of them in the Word of God. God didn't criticize them. He visited them twice. He answered their prayer twice. You know, if there were more faithful parents, there might be more missionaries. There might be more resources so that the missionaries could get to the field sooner. Listen, anyone can disobey God's word. Our children can see that anytime. They can find all kinds of people who justify their disobedience of God's word. But what they need is to see people who stand with God, who keep his word, who say, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think I see the day approaching. I think our young people should see the adults, the seasoned Christian veterans, faithful. Faithful. Oh, I don't have really any time left, but if we went on here, we could see the freeing purpose. In verse number 5, God said, "He shall begin to deliver his my people. He shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." They didn't ask for it. There's no country in the world today that's calling up and saying, "Can you Baptists send some more missionaries to our country?" In fact, the people of Israel betrayed Samson. If you read on, you're going to see that, you know, the Philistines went to the children of Judah and they said, "Hey, we're sick and tired of this Samson guy. You deliver him to us or we're gonna whoop on you." And they went to Samson and said, "We got to deliver you. We got to turn you over to them." And they tied him up and handed him over, but it didn't work out so well. We could go on and we could see the firm precepts. God told Manoah's wife, "Don't you eat any grape juice. Don't you have any grape jam on your toast when you have your coffee in the morning. This child is going to be a Nazarite. It's a special amount of separation there. A greater degree of separation." Now, he didn't take his separation seriously. That was his problem. But we don't have to do the same mistakes that Samson did. We don't have to. We can see the things that God tells us not to do and then not do them. We can see the things that God tells us we ought to do and then do them. We can learn from his mistakes so that we don't have to make the same mistakes. God tells us that we're to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. Are we doing that? Is that what the primary purpose of our churches as independent Baptist people? Is that what we're about and that's what we're doing? I think that this church does a tremendous job. And I'm so thankful to be part of the missions program of this church. And you folks have been a great blessing to my family and I as we have tried to do what God has told all of us to do. And we have done our best on your behalf to try to reach every person that we can in that place on the other side of the world where most of you will never go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we were to go on, we could see the fiery present. They gave God a sacrifice, even though it was certainly a time of want. They gave God something precious because a kid back then was like it was maybe a few meals that they were going to miss. They were going to have to go hungry, probably a few meals, because they gave that to God, but God took it. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord descended up in the flame of that fire to heaven. Oh, God takes what we give him that is important and that is valuable. And he uses it in a way that we never could. For his glory. And what you've given so that we can be on the mission field, God has used so that souls are saved. In 2004, somebody called me and said, "Brother Rob, his wife was Korean. And my wife's older sister is sick in the hospital with cancer." And he said she's never wanted anything to do with with our witness to her before. She wouldn't listen. She doesn't want to hear the Bible. She doesn't want to hear about church. She doesn't want to hear about God. She's lived a rough life, and she's abused alcohol, and she's kind of an outcast. But now she's sick. Will you go see her and try to talk to her? We went about 2 hours from Seoul to an island on the west side of the Korean Peninsula, Kangwa Island, and went in, knocked on her door of a little tiny one-room shack, went in and sat down on the floor, and for 2.5 hours, we took her through the Word of God. And at the end of that time, with many tears, she bowed her head and received Jesus Christ as her Savior. And that was on a Thursday, and on Sunday, she got on a bus, even though she was sick with cancer, and she came to Seoul so that she could be baptized. Jang Kumwa was her name. And a few months after she was saved, she came to me and she said, "Pastor Oatman," she said, it's too late for me. She said, "My life's almost over. I can't be a missionary like you. But as long as I have breath, I'm going to be a witness." And she told all of her friends and all of her neighbors and all of her relatives what great things Jesus had done for her. And then about 9 or 10 months after she got saved, she passed away. And you know, in Luke chapter 16, and I think it's in verse number 9, after telling the parable of the unjust steward, Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail," literally when you die, "they may receive you into the everlasting habitations." And folks, because of your faithful stewardship, Jang Kumwa is in heaven today. And she's waiting to receive us. And she's there. Yes, she's there because of the grace of God, of course. But according to God's word, she is also there because some Christian stewards use the mammon of unrighteousness to make to themselves eternal friends that would receive them into the everlasting habitations of heaven. And that brings us to the end of Judges chapter 13 and the fulfilled promise. God gave them the son that they wanted. Jesus is going to come back. And we don't know when. But I do know this. I have less time tomorrow than I had yesterday. And God's word tells me to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Thank you for helping us reach the people of Korea with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor.
Wednesday, you know I was in South Carolina all week, and it was grueling days. 10:30 at night when I left meetings and go home on the phone until late at night. On Wednesday, I was tired, I was depressed. And as I was driving to where I was staying, and I said I could just go home after a hot day and relax. I said, "I'm so bad, I just need to hear someone tell me about Christ." I went to our church. The man, the pastor there, used to be my professor when I was a freshman, actually. He's probably my favorite preacher alive. In fact, I kind of tried to model after him unintentionally, but he was my teacher. And I tried to sat weights of 700 people church. It's a big church. I tried to sit in way in the back. Just didn't want to people to bother me. Well, yeah, right. And so he spoke, which was a blessing to me. And after that, when he finished, he said, Dr. Bernard is back there. I said, well, you're not supposed to see. And then I walk after, before, as people were going out to pray, and I actually had some tears in my eyes knowing the burden that I was carrying for the position I have, the task that the Lord had brought me to do. Those were not his exact words, but they resonated in my heart. He said something to this effect: God does not make mistake in choosing the man of the hour. God does not make mistake in choosing the men and certainly women of the hour. And I can tell you that for me personally, I am more cognizant of my weaknesses and limitations more than any critic on this earth can detect. But I'm saying to you, as the brother is talking about Samson, who is imperfect, failed people, fierce enemy, and yet this is the man that God used. And whatever the Lord has given you to do in this church, there will be a lot of failure around you, a lot of fierce opposition. But God does not make mistake in choosing the men and women of the hour. He does not make mistake. He knows exactly what he's doing. And what Samson did, Moses could not do. Because Samson was the person that God chose. And as we go this month, I'm encouraging you. Regardless of your limitations and failures, God does not make mistake in placing you here at Robinson Baptist Church and burdening you with what he's burdening you with. And putting upon you, the Lord is putting upon you. Just ask him to strengthen you. I guarantee you, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. I guarantee you, you can. Just let him work in and through you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the ministry of your word today through people of like passion as I and my brothers and sisters here are. And we pray that just as you have worked with the disciples in feeding the 5,000 and Samson, despite his so many failures, you have accomplished great things. I'm remembering the words of Dwight L. Moody when he heard someone said, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is fully dedicated to him. And having heard that, he said, I shall be that man. And I pray that every single one of us, we would want to be whatever the Lord wants us to be, and that we'll want to do whatever the Lord has called us to do. Do your work of grace in my people. We are just responsible for the process. All outcomes are in your hands. You give increase, you will allow decrease. Just help us to be found faithful. Sustain us, encourage us in the grace of God, and magnify your name in the lives of the Garibaldis and the Oatmans, that they would be great servants of yours, and thank you for the ministry you allow them to fulfill in our own hearts and mind today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.